November 17th, 2025. Second time's a charm as we nail that one. Hey, welcome back to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. This is episode number 2. I believe if we're going on our counts, Max, it's episode 86, right? On the
calendar? Correct, I believe.
Correct. So 14 away from our 100th podcast. So I am still your host, Don Brown, Downtown Donnie Brown, and I'm coming to you from the office of former alderman Don Paul Brown here in our beloved Banting Park home. I am joined, as always, by the mighty Max Martinson, maybe one of America's greatest producers, who's working from the comfort of his home out there in Milwaukee by the campus of MATC, where he recently graduated and continues to do some great projects there on campus. What did you do again recently, or you're working on today, Max?
I'm the field reporter for the on-campus segment of the school news program.
Nice. A field reporter. So you got a mic in front of you and you're telling it on live TV. Is that right? Or digital?
We're not necessarily reporting, but I'm the one who will interview like the field guest.
Okay. Nice. Sounds good. And where'd you say you were again today?
Today we were at the cuisine dining room. It is a MATC culinary arts based restaurant on the downtown campus. So
that's cool. Do they have like a culinary school? Is that why, or culinary program?
Yep, there's a full culinary arts program at MATC. So it's ran by students in that program.
Those are great. Do they have like, is there like a lunch time where you can go in and get like $13 meals or something, and it's like really great gourmet stuff?
Yeah, I believe so. I think they're only open like a couple of days out of the week, but
right. But it's one of the joys of having a culinary school near you. I had one near mine when I was living down in Evanston, and I never took advantage of it. It was called Kendall College, and they would have like I don't know if it was like a Monday or Tuesday lunch. It was like a couple of days a week. They'd open up their dining room, and the students got to display their best stuff, and again, you would get like really great, you know, like gourmet type of food for a fraction of the price, you know, you would pay a lot more money for in a finer dining restaurant. So yeah, that's a great time and a great experience. And I imagine on your kind of student budget or recent graduate budget, you may head over there a few times. Is that right, Max?
Yeah, you're definitely not wrong there.
You're a regular. Yeah. So yeah, I'll have to meet you down there one of these days. Cause I love that stuff. So, again, This Week in Waukesha is a production of Civic Media, produced in cooperation with WAUK Radio 540 AM and here in Waukesha 101.1 FM. And so really proud to have that affiliation and big fan of the Civic Media mission, which allows programs like ours to talk about the local issues that matter to us and to act locally, think globally. And, you know, we get a lot of that here in Waukesha as the hometown of the state's oldest college, Carroll University. And also just a great, you know, manufacturing tradition here and great cultural history. And, you know, we have a Springs era that's still celebrated and a great architectural tradition here, too, which is, again, I mentioned the first segment, my wife and I had dinner at People's Park and I love sitting up in that second floor and looking out the window and you see all those other buildings like the Nickel Building and a few others. I forget the names. I'm embarrassed to say, but you know, you feel like you're on the set of a movie from like a bygone era. You know, like downtown Waukesha would be a great set for something like that. So especially in that view from the dining room at People's Park, that stuff is pretty cool to me. But a couple things I wanted to share is, some, you know, I'm, as everyone knows, I'm real big on history. And we have two bits of history here that were celebrated recently. I don't know if this came from the museum. Again, it's the most significant remembrance this week is the 2021 Christmas parade tragedy, the parade attack, which killed six, you know, sons and daughters of Waukesha County and there will be a memorial ceremony this Friday, the 21st at 4:39 PM. And I'm hoping to catch that, but it's heartwarming to see the blue light bulbs going back up and in recognition of that day and those events. And just seeing Waukesha Strong, continue that spirit. That it's funny, because in the last podcast I had Tyler Pudliner on, and we were talking about how, well, it was only 4 years ago, so in many ways it seems like yesterday, but it's also, it seems like it's more than 10 years ago, because so much that's happened in our lives and in our community since that time. And I think that's kind of a good thing, that we've grown, and especially when you see people like Tyler Pudliner, like Eric Teagues, like other ministers. For anybody that knows in the Catholic faith community, Waukesha knows Father Pat, who survived. He was injured by the vehicle and spent some time in the hospital. And these people are still, they're big. And I'm sure there's countless other people I don't know that were victims. And these people remain a strong part of the fabric of our lives, and continue to move on and do great things. And Tyler was sharing with me his project, Bobbleheads Bring Us Together. And he also, and basically they deliver bobbleheads to kids that have suffered some sort of trauma or incident like what he had endured back in November 2021. But it's also for, for kids and kids looking for, that have a wish list, that maybe they come from families that are a little under-resourced. But Tyler's also working at the card, the sports card collectible store in that Kohl's Plaza near Flowers by Cami. And that's a great place. He works there, and they own another one in Southridge. So he kind of he jumps back and forth. But I'm really hoping to catch up with him there. But he's doing a lot of great things in his life, and continues to not be defined by what happened, but just shows a lot of strength and moving forward, and just nice young man, and glad to call him my friend and a fellow Blazer for any of you youth baseball fans here. There's still a lot of content on what happened here. When I look at these bullet points from this week in Waukesha, I don't know if it's like an article or just a Google, but it mentions the six people who were killed and over 70 injured, but it also talks about how it left hundreds with emotional and mental scars. And that's why I usually, when I end my final podcast evening, I always talk about how mental health is everybody's right. And I encourage everybody to take advantage of that when it's available. And I know that's not an easy thing to do, because the cost of healthcare in general leaves a lot to be desired. And then you add mental health to that, and that's hard, but whatever we can do to support each other, is extremely important. Especially as many are still continuing to heal. I was in the front of the parade marching with Mayor Riley and with fellow Alder, Beth Wilson, who continues to serve, I believe, the 8th District, and Mayor Sean Riley. We were all marching in the front of it, but we'd already left. We were on our way home, or I think in Mayor Riley's case, he was already in his home when the attack took place. And, yes, there is a definite survivor's guilt, but at the same time, there is, a bit of gratitude, at least for my family, that I didn't witness any of the what had actually happened and the trauma related to it. But as I mentioned here, though, there were videos of the tragedy were shared on social media. And so certainly America, the world, saw enough disturbing footage of what happened that, it's still, it's something we'll never forget, unfortunately, but something we've grown, and it's like Chief Daniel Thompson said when he was on my show a couple of years ago, my radio show, that, the Christmas parade attack was our 9/11, and Waukesha Strong is our city's anthem, and we really are. So, but speaking of Waukesha Strong, I didn't realize, and I feel bad, because I haven't had him. Usually, I have him on the show around closer to Halloween, but we definitely got to get him back, because he's an out published author. Josh Hughes, the Waukesha Ghost Tours, he has published a new book that documents the city of Waukesha's most haunted places. And there is a paranormal history here, as many of my regular listeners know from those those annual shows that we did with Josh. And so I'm really looking forward to, we're going to definitely gonna have to try to have him on to talk about that. Hey, not a bad idea for a Christmas gift for the readers in your family. So yeah, I definitely look forward to learning more about that. Yeah, local author Josh Hughes published a new book that documents the city's most haunted places. I mentioned that, okay. He also leads local ghost tours with the largest crowds appearing around Halloween. His book explores landmarks he believes are haunted, such as Prairie Home Cemetery, the final resting place of the boy known as Little Lord Fauntleroy. And there's a tradition, too, in the city I really like where children, especially, will go and they'll leave little toys on the grave of the orphan boy that was brutally murdered, was found like in one of the canals here in Waukesha. I think that was like in the 1920s. Families, children will go and they'll leave little toys at his grave. And I will too on days that mark, you know, special moments in my family's history. But there also have been sightings of Little Lord Fauntleroy at night. And I think during Halloween of all times too. And Josh, I think, has chronicled that in his book. But it's a great passion that Josh, it's neat that Josh continues to work in that space. He does work in marketing for Carroll University, and so he's talented young man in the area of, you know, marketing and the arts, and this is, you know, the ghost tours and the paranormal research and the case, like, he does investigations and everything. He's got a lot of the equipment to do it, and some really fascinating stuff. So I will we'll have to make that an effort, Max, to get him on in one of these upcoming shows. So, and then while we do that, so if I remember correctly, Max, we are obviously a week away from next week is Thanksgiving week, correct?
Correct, yes.
So, and obviously the natural question is, what are your plans for Thanksgiving?
Not a whole lot. I know my family's going to be making food this year, so probably just chilling out back home.
You go back to Baraboo then?
Madison is where my family is.
Madison. Oh, that's right. Okay. Your folks are there now, right? Yeah. So, well, that'll be good. So you only have to drive an hour instead of like 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be great. So yeah, we're hosting this year for the first time. We did it a few years ago and it won't be as crowded. My wife's one of four children. And so two of her three siblings will be making it. One of them is hosting her in-laws. And so they may come over for dessert. We'll see. But my wife's brother and his wife and two boys are coming from Menominee Falls. And then her younger sister is coming from DeForest and with her four children. So yeah, it'll be a pretty crowded house, but not as crowded as when we had the complete family. So it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of work, of course, for us as the host, but it's also nice to not have to go anywhere either when it's over. And we usually get a lot of help with cleaning up and everything. So we're looking forward to it. And yeah, if the weather's nice too, you know, we got Banting Park. We might see if we can organize a little turkey bowl with the kids, play a little touch football. So that'll be fun. What's your favorite part of Thanksgiving in terms of food?
I'm a huge person for sweet potatoes, so my mom makes a really good mashed sweet potato, which is always really good.
That's great. Yeah, I'm of course I like turkey, who doesn't, but I'm partial to like really good stuffing or dressing. And there's a little bit of a tiff between my wife and her father. My father-in-law wanted to put some sausage in the stuffing, which I think sounds fantastic. My wife's not as crazy. I think she just doesn't maybe understand or appreciate, because, you know, stuffing is stuffing. But when I was in the restaurant business down in Evanston, we had a barbecue place, a smokehouse with two big Southern Pride smokers. And, you know, you probably know how those things work, Max. Like, you'll slow smoke your favorite proteins for like 12 hours at like 120, you know, and you'll use like a fruit wood, we would use like an apple wood or a cherry wood to help, you know, like flavor the meats. And, but we would stuff people's turkeys at Thanksgivings. Like they would bring their turkey from the store and we would stuff it and smoke it. And the two the two types of stuffing we offered was there was an oyster stuffing, which was really good. And then there was a cranberry andouille sausage stuffing, which was insanely good. It was out of this world. And so I have no objections to having some sausage in my stuffing if that becomes a reality. And I think we'll end up probably making two different stuffings then. So, but yeah, we'll have some homemade wine. My father-in-law makes his own wine. So he actually, I hooked him up with like 5 gallons of honey that a friend of mine from a previous client, he's a beekeeper. And yeah, I gave him like 5 gallons of it. And so my father-in-law, he's worked with a lot of different fruits, not just grapes. He makes really good wine. Like this crab apple wine might very well be my favorite, but he's made mulberry wine and cranberry wine, really good stuff. But he's the mead he made is really, for our first effort, it's really good. And I gave a couple of bottles to my friend, the beekeeper, and his wife, and they really enjoyed it. So we're definitely have to leave a couple of those bottles at home already. We're gonna have to chill them and get them ready. So you ever had mead before, Max? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not super familiar, but
so it's a honey wine, and some people, like a friend of mine from college lives in France. I was talking to him on WhatsApp, and he was talking about he fortifies his mead so it travels better, and it's maybe stronger in terms of its alcohol content, but that's good. That becomes more of like a sipping wine, like almost like an after dinner like cordial. But I do like mead. It's an Irish wine, and it was the drink of the High Kings of Ireland, you know, centuries ago. And it was mead was served on a wedding day, and the couple would drink it on their wedding night, especially when the moon was at a certain point in its cycle, if you will. Mm-hmm. And if conception was achieved, it was a compliment to the mead maker. So that's where the term honeymoon comes from, by the way. It's the Irish mead. So, but it's good. I every year for our anniversary, as much as we can, we would go to Tufty's Table in downtown Waukesha. And they have some really great, it's a farm to table concept. And they've sourced some really good wines in the region, not just from like California, but here in Wisconsin. And I had a glass of mead for dessert a couple of years ago, and it was made in Algoma, Wisconsin, you know, near Green Bay.
Yep.
And that was excellent. And so something I'm, you know, kind of looking forward to at Thanksgiving too, is when you have a chance to, you know, enjoy local products. And with my father-in-law, it's the wine. And I wouldn't mind having some venison this year. I think, yeah, my brother-in-law would, he's a hunter. He would always bring venison sausage and jerky too, and he'd spice it up. That was always really good. But yeah, unfortunately, he's the family that's not coming. They're entertaining his family this year, but maybe we can get him to put some of that venison sausage together, because I dig it. So anyway, in this final 2 minutes of this podcast, I definitely want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. We should have, you know, we'll have one more podcast before then, but I'm just not sure, again, with that short week, there'd be a lot of pressure on my friend Max here to publish that. So we'll probably be looking for the following week to talk about, the Christmas season that's upon us. That kind of runs into Thanksgiving and in some cases Halloween. So I was hearing about people putting up their Christmas lights over the weekend in a work meeting today. And that was, I'm still one of those like purists that like, you know, Christmas starts when Halloween's over, or like when Thanksgiving's over, excuse me. You know, it's like, let's observe Thanksgiving and give it its, you know, it's just dessert in terms of a day to celebrate and enjoy. And I don't like this early Christmas stuff. So that's just me. But anyway, I do wish everybody has a wonderful, very happy Thanksgiving. And again, keeping in mind those we lost in the Christmas parade as we approach the 4th anniversary, the Christmas parade attack and the many victims, and those two that still experience any trauma, I really hope that they can get the help that they need. And sometimes that help is all around us with the City of Good Neighbors. So again, on behalf of my producer, Max Martinson, and myself, I want everyone to remember that, especially in this holiday season, safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Go Ramila Mahagav, go Lear, Esfeder Lynn. 1,000 thank yous to all of you, and slán mat, and see you.